Just in case you want to know what it's like to be a rabbi with small children, these are notes. And that's my son. Just let us share. Sometimes you have to keep your kids occupied, and what you use is a marker. It's next to you, and he draws with you. But I still got it done. So praise God. All right. Well, fittingly, we're going to talk about marriage. It's what brings us together today. I couldn't help it. And I know I took out a very bold step when I titled this message, God's Idea of Marriage. Well, who are you to know? Well, it's not me. It's God. And where I get it from is Wikipedia. No, I mean the Bible. So we're going to go through the Bible and talk about what the Bible says about marriage to bless Caleb and Lacey and to bless any of us who are married or considering getting married because this is something important and the Bible does have a lot to say about marriage. So let's get started. Next slide. So marriage, yeah, there's a picture I found on the internet. Marriage is the beginning, the middle, and the end of the Bible. If you ever really think about it. The beginning in Genesis, God makes man. He says, you know what? He needs a friend. He needs a partner. So he creates woman. Then in Genesis 2:24, it says, and therefore man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. It's one of the very first things that happens in the Bible. And then through Israel's history and Israel's continued, unfortunately, unfaithfulness to God, God is he reminds Israel of his faithfulness to her. In Hosea 2:18, it says, you know, you will no longer call me your master, but your husband. Now, interestingly, in the word for master in Hebrew is Baal, which today still is used as husband, meaning the one in charge. And we're going to talk about that. But he says, then you'll call me Ishi, my husband or my man. Speaking of that there's a further degree of intimacy that God wants with his people that goes even beyond the normal definitions of a husband to a wife. Isaiah says, as we read today, your husband is your maker, and I will be the God of all the earth. So even though God's intimacy with Israel, he'll expand that intimacy to the nations, those who are joined part of Israel. Jeremiah, in the prophecy of the new covenant, speaks of that Israel's unfaithfulness to the covenant at Sinai, even though he says, I was a husband to them. Basically saying, I was faithful as a husband was. You were the one who went off. So I'm going to do what I have to do to enable you to be faithful. And then, of course, the very beautiful passage from Revelation 21, I'll read it. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So this is after the millennial reign. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I also heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is among men, and he shall tabernacle with them. He'll be with us. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them and be their God. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Nor shall there be any mourning or crying or pain any longer, for the former things have passed away. And the one seated upon the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Then he said, write, for these words are trustworthy and true. What's beautiful about this passage, and then juxtaposed to the beginning, is that in the beginning there was no shame. Adam and Eve were naked. They were naked to each other, and they were naked in front of God. And there was no shame. And at the end, God will wipe away all sadness and tears and death. Shame will be gone. So even though what we lost what was initially given to us, we'll regain it when Yeshua comes back and the new heavens and new earth are finally created after the enemy is thrown into the lake of fire. So our whole goal is going back to being fully intimate and without shame in front of God as it was intended for Adam and Eve, pure, totally naked and unashamed with each other. It's very exciting and beautiful. But for us, in the interim, there's still some things to learn from the Bible. So let's talk about what marriage is. Next slide, please. So what is marriage? Now this talks about, I'm not going to get into all the stuff in the culture, but I'm going to talk about what some ideas of marriage are. We talk about love. We talk about covenant, partnership, companionship, and a foundation for a family. These are all true. These are all good. And I want to go even what makes all these possible and the deepest level of what marriage is according to the scriptures. So let's go into Ephesians 5. Next slide, please. So submission, my title is Submission Plus Love Equals Blessing. And I'm going to read it in totality. It's just also a good piece of advice for when reading scripture is don't read one verse and say, well, this is what it means. This is what it says. That's what one verse says. But read the full context and then go back and start to parse it out. Figure out, this is what it means now in light of everything around it. So here's Shaul, or Paul is writing to the Ephesians. And he writes this really beautiful passage after he's admonishing the people how to taking off their old ways and putting on their new ways. Then he says in verse 21, also submit yourselves to one another out of reverence for Messiah. Wives to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as Messiah also is head of his community, himself the Savior of the body. But as Messiah's community is submitted to Messiah, so also the wives to their husbands in everything. Now what's interesting to note, and I saw this in a couple of different translations, you know, and just in case you didn't know, the headings of chapters or parts of the Bible are not from the Bible. Neither were the numbering of verses. This was a letter. Okay? So just be mindful of reading again the context before you go and say, well, this is what this means and this is what that means. Because a lot of times verse 21 is often put in the passage or section that precedes this about marriage. Whereas more fittingly, it goes with the passage, it's not separate from. So at the very beginning, Paul, he mentions, submit yourselves to one another out of reverence for Messiah. That means this is a commandment for all. Whether you're single, whether you're young or old, or whether you're a husband or a wife, there's this attitude of submission to one another. Why? Out of reverence for Messiah. Right, it also says in Galatians, bear one another's burdens. For in so doing, you fulfill the Torah of the Messiah. It doesn't specify who to whom, but it's an injunction upon every believer, those who call upon the name of the Lord, to do this, to submit ourselves to one another. But that takes different shape for different situations. For instance, we're commanded in Romans 13:1 to honor our governing authorities. You know, what would do a lot of good for our country, whether you agree with somebody or not, is to pray for them and to honor them as the authority given to us. It doesn't mean you have to agree with everything they say. And if something they say goes against the Bible, that means you certainly don't have to do it. But you do have to honor them, and you do have to respect them, know that God has put them there for whatever his purpose, and we do have to pray for that person. It also tells us in Hebrews 13:17 that the body is to subject itself to the leadership of the elders. It's part of government. Does that mean the elders lord it over the people? No. But there's a structure. Very similar to military. Every rank submits itself to the rank above it. But that means we all have the same purpose of winning the war and defending the people. We also read about, Paul talks about even slaves, because at that time there were slaves, that slaves had to submit to their masters. As to the Lord, he says. Remember, you're not serving man. I remember when he even returns Onesimus to Philemon, that he says to him, even he's now a brother in the Lord, even though he's your slave, treat him as you would God, as to would to the Lord. Love him as you've been loved by Yeshua. So even though he's their physical relationship is still a master to a slave, they're supposed to be more like brothers. So even though we're both slaves of Yeshua, still the slave has to serve his master. So the idea of submission is not something just for women, as often is portrayed, but this is just the proper order of things. But notice it also says, for the husband is head of the wife, as Messiah also is head of his community, himself the Savior of the body. But as Messiah's community is submitted to Messiah, so also the wives to their husbands in everything. Even Messiah itself, it says in 1 Corinthians 11, the head of Messiah is God. When he even came to earth as the Son of God, as the Son of Man, he submitted to the Father in all things. He said, I only do what my Father does. What he says, that's what I say. So we even have a master submitted to each, the wife submitted to the husband, as the husband is to the Messiah, as Messiah is to God. I know some people, this passage can be difficult, but if we look at the totality of things and seeing exactly how it's to be emulated, it really is, life is a blessing. And I'm going to continue, as I continue to speak, I hope you'll understand more. Because the husband is to govern like Yeshua. From what I've read from the scriptures, Yeshua governed very well. And his government is blessing and life and uplifting. Next slide. Then he goes on to the husbands. Husbands, love your wives just as Messiah also loved his community and gave himself up for her, making her holy, having cleansed her by immersion in the word. Messiah did this so that he might present to himself his glorious community, not having stain or wrinkle or any such thing, but in order that she might be holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. You know what I thought of immediately was the second commandment, which is Ve'ahavta re'acha kamocha, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And if husbands are to love their wives as Messiah has loved his community, what did Yeshua define as the greatest of love? Laying down one's life for his friend. So that's how husbands are to love their wives. And we read in Matthew 20, where they're talking about being the head. He specifies, because his disciples are bickering, who's the greatest? I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. And he says to them, Yeshua, Matthew 20, verse 25, Yeshua called them over and said, you know that the rulers of the nations lord it over them, and their great ones play the tyrant over them. It shall not be this way among you. But whoever wants to be the great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So the wife is to submit to the husband, but the husband is to lay down his life for his wife. It's not a one-way street. Hence why the title of these slides is Submission Plus Love Equals Blessing. I'm going to keep going because there's more to unpack. Next slide. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Messiah also does his community, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm talking about Messiah and his community. In any case, let each of you love his own wife as himself, and let the wife respect her husband. So in case, what I want to point out from here, and it should be very obvious, because he mentions it so frequently, is how does this all work? Next slide. Because God's idea of marriage is being like Yeshua to one another. And I put here a mirror so that when we look in the mirror, that we see Yeshua in our marriage. That yes, someone can say, well, you know, sometimes when people in marriages, not any of our marriages, but when you get in an argument and say, why are you like this? And you say, well, this is who you married. It's not true. Who that person, whether the wife or the husband, married Yeshua. And true, that person has its own idiosyncrasies, their own propensities, their own idiosyncrasies. But all those are to subject to the reign and person of Yeshua. And all those must work towards becoming more like him. So then we look in that mirror. One of my favorite passages from Galatians 2 says, it's not I who live anymore, but the Son of God who lives within me. Yes, there still is submission. The wife's submission to the husband is true. And the husband loving her as Messiah loved us is true. But all this is done within the framework of being like Yeshua. And let's see just how obvious and bold this is. Next slide. Go back to the same passages, but look at what's been underlined. We imitate Yeshua in submission and love. I'm going to read it again, but notice the underlined parts. Also, submit yourselves to one another out of reverence for Messiah. It's not some sort of lowly thing, oh, I'm not worthy. I'm a sinner. You do it because you love Yeshua. And as John writes, if we don't love our brother, whom we have seen, but love, say we love God, how can that be true? We love God, we've never seen him. So how does that translate? It translates to loving our brother whom we have seen. We say we love Yeshua, so love one another, submit to one another, bear one another's burdens. I'm continuing in verse 22. Wives to your own husbands as to the Lord. It's not some sort of rulership. You're mine, submit to me. She's doing so as reverence to the Lord. Do we not submit to Yeshua? That's a different question. 23, for the husband is head of the wife, as Messiah also is head of his community. Therefore, the husband is to rule the household, to be Lord of the house and of his wife, as Messiah is. Is Messiah not a good Lord? Does he not rule with love and justice and righteousness? That's how a husband should rule. Himself the Savior of the body. But as Messiah's community is submitted to Messiah, so also the wives to their husbands in everything. Again, he repeats himself that she is to submit to the husband as she submits to Yeshua. Next slide. Now he goes on to husbands. Husbands, love your wives just as also Messiah also loved his community and gave himself up for her. Again, this is not rulership. Do what I say. Give me this. Quiet. Yeshua never spoke like that. But people, why did people flock to him? Why did a prostitute wipe his feet with tears in her hair? Because he loved much. And his love is perfect. And it casts out fear. And he heals and he blesses. That's why people followed him. That's why people loved him. We're willing to give up everything for him because his love is perfect. And having cleansed her by immersion in the word, truly he's talking about his words, which are pure and eternal. But I also think of it for husbands. Husbands, when he shower, if you will, the immersion, right, the water image, the wives with good words, words that clean, words that bless. Continuing in 27, Messiah did this so that he might present to himself his glorious community, not having stain or wrinkle or any such thing, but in order that she might be holy and blameless. Meaning that the words the husband speaks to his wife, clean and bless, and make her even more beautiful, more glorious. sanctifying her, right? The word holy. Set her apart amongst all women. That's the sound of a bad marriage. But as we read in Zephaniah, it says the Lord rejoices over us with singing. You know, to a man to rejoice over his wife with good words, beautiful words. In the same way, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Okay, next. Verse 29, for no one ever hated his flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Messiah also does his community, meaning he uplifts us. He picks us up. He feeds us. He gives us what we need. And not in just a generic sense, in a very specific sense, very personal sense. So as he does this for us, we too are like, we are to do this for our wives. Because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm talking about Messiah and his community. Again, the imagery, even though clearly he's quoting from Genesis 2. And the simple meaning of that passage, nothing to do about Messiah and his community. That's to do with a man and his wife. But he's saying this is a greater picture. He's saying this about the Messiah and his community. That the picture we see of how Messiah loves his community and how his community submits to his rulership is what our marriages should look like. In any case, let each of you love his own wife as himself, and let the wife respect her husband. What this reminds me of is in Hebrews 8. It talks about the earthly tabernacle was a replica of what's in heaven. And it even attests to this in the Torah. It says Moses made everything according to the image that he saw. So basically, what was happening on earth was imitating what was happening in heaven. How does this connect here? That our marriages should look like how Yeshua loves his community. And how his community responds in submission to his rulership. Next slide. The good news is his love guarantees victory. Well, how could you simplify things so much? Because he's perfect. He's absolutely perfect. And you read this definition of love, and this is God's love. This is not, you know, what you hear on the news, love is love. This is real love. Okay? Notice his description. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. Well, if that's the truth, then it means love wins. But where there are prophecies, they will pass away. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is partial will pass away. Why did I include this? Because, yes, we do learn things. We need to learn about marriage. It ain't easy. And we should seek advice. And I can't go into all the details of what makes a successful marriage and how to communicate and so on. I can't do that now. But what I can say to you is that whatever we do know, or whatever we think we know, is partial. There's only one who is complete. And he's the one who loves us. And the more we abide in his love and love and submit from that place of his love, the better we will be, the better our marriages will be, and the more we'll know with what knowledge that is actually helpful. True, I'm not disregarding counseling, therapy, marriage books, marriage advice. I'm not disregarding that. It's necessary. But what I'm saying is it can't substitute for the pure love of Yeshua. We read in 1 John 4 that we love because he loved us first. That this cycle of blessing is that the husband loves his wife. She submits. He blesses her. She blesses him. He blesses her. She blesses him. And on it goes. Just as Messiah loves us, we love him and submit to him, says, your will be done. He loves her, she submits, and the family, the marriage works. It's a cycle of blessing in its proper order. It's not a greater than, it's not a less than. It's just the way God has set things up. And there's an order to things. And remember, Yeshua himself submitted to the Father. He's not asking us to do anything that he hasn't done already himself. But the key here is the love of Yeshua. How does this work? When he's put as the head, and his will is sought above all, and that he is even above the family and above each spouse, and they pursue him and love him and submit to him, then the marriage is great and it's wonderful and it blesses and it uplifts and it encourages. And it's a testimony that marriage is good. You hear that, guys? Marriage is good. You're going to enter something good tomorrow. And what makes it great is the love of Yeshua, that you guys put him first and then love each other. Caleb, love her as he's loved you. Lacey, submit to him as you submit to Messiah, and it will go well. You'll have a wonderful, beautiful marriage. Because the love of Messiah will be in all, through all, and for his glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you do not leave us as orphans, but are with us to the end of the age. And as Melanie quoted earlier, that the peace you leave with us is not as the world gives, a perfect peace. Shower us with your love. Bless Caleb and Lacey, this new adventure of theirs. Fill them up more with your love for your glory, Father. That Yeshua be lifted up, and even that their marriage would be a testimony to your greatness. And here's a young couple wanting to get married under the rulership and love of Yeshua, humbly submitted to the Father to redeem all for his glory. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Please rise for the final blessing. I invite the elders to come up.